Hello and welcome to Intrepid Heroes Presents, a podcast where we chat about various topics related to role-playing games. I'm John Godek, and with me today is Samantha Phelan. Welcome to the podcast.
Thank you. Thank you for having me.
Yeah, so Sam is a customer service representative at Paizo and has recently contributed to the Pathfinder's Lost Omens, Gods of Magic, the Starfinder Alien Archive 3, and the Near Space hardcover. So doing quite a bit, it seems like.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Can you tell us a little bit about your responsibilities at Paizo as a customer service rep?
Yeah, as a customer service representative, we do the typical stuff of answering phone calls and emails and forum posts about issues with orders. We help manage some of the forums, so we'll keep online campaigns activated, deactivated, and I personally do quite a bit of the moderation for the forums.
So when you're moderating on the forums, are you responding to questions, or you're deleting stuff, or you're moving things around?
Generally deleting stuff and kind of hoping to help keep threads on track and in good spirits. Mm-hmm. Definitely there's a lot of passionate players out there a lot of clashing personalities and different backgrounds. So I have some background in cultural anthropology, so I just try and bring that in to hopefully, you know, everyone's a thinking, feeling human being with reasons for what they do. And so I just try and bring that attitude into the moderation to just keep things pleasant so we can all talk about games and get along and that everyone feels like they're welcome.
Cool. And so that's what you're doing online, and what other type of duties do you have as well?
Yeah, there's a lot of the boring stuff. We document everything we do in customer service. We create wikis.
So you create which wikis do you do? Like the Pathfinder?
No. Like more boring stuff. Just like our internal.
Oh,
like,
internal.
Like things. How you do things where we work and.
Okay. To educate everybody else here to understand how the process works.
And we're constantly just trying to improve our process all the time because our, you know, Paizo's growing so much, and our team, I think in the last like year, has expanded to where it was only like 3 people, and then I was a 4th. Mm-hmm. And then so I think a lot of the times we find that our processes are not supporting the growth of what we responsibilities we're taking on. Mm. And so we work on that and trying to essentially just keep providing the best service we can and give people the best access to everything they need, as we are doing a lot more projects with like the Alexa thing coming out and Humble Bundles and you know, all that stuff. And so we try and keep on top of what's going on so we can answer questions about, you know, anything and everything about both games and all the add-ons.
Oh, so if I have questions about stuff like Alexa or Humble, I can actually call you guys for that too? Yeah. Not just when I have problems with my orders?
Yes, yeah, generally. No, you know, we love to help out. I've answered questions about like, you know, like, I really need a Cayman Familiar. What book can I find that in?
Oh, wow.
And, you know, and it may take me a little bit because I'll be like, you know, I'll be asking somebody else. Uh-huh. I'll go look at books myself, you know, and I'll figure that stuff out for you. Yeah, and then, you know, I have an Alexa too, so, like, some people, they ask me about that, or I like to let them know it exists, or just, you know, we just try and make sure that, ideally, whatever kinds of question you have, as long as it's in our wheelhouse and our power to answer, that we can get you something.
Now, you mentioned you have a background in cultural anthropology.
Yeah.
So, how did you go from that to this position here?
Yeah, absolutely. When I was doing my undergrad for cultural anthropology and linguistics, what I actually focused on studying was nerd culture and gamer culture. So I did a couple of papers on focusing on the gender aspect and identity aspects of gaming and gamer culture. And at the time, I was getting really, really into Magic and Pathfinder, and we were doing all that. So I had.
Did you go to school local here?
I went in Bellingham.
Okay. Okay. Yeah. I was going to say, because, you know, so Magic and Pathfinder, those are both kind of local companies, so
totally coincidental. Yeah. I just happen to be in a great part of the world here. Mm-hmm. When I got really into those hobbies, and then when I got the opportunity to pick my own topics for research, I started doing a lot of gaming things. And so I spent just a lot of time doing my cultural research with youth subcultures.
Yeah, you had to be involved in the subculture.
Exactly. Cool, and so that? that was mostly what I spent my time doing. Fell in love with it, kind of decided like I'm gonna look into game companies, and you know, I just saw the Paizo logo on my Pathfinder book and was like, all right, I'm going here.
Oh, that is so cool. Mm-hmm. So how did you get involved in freelance writing for Paizo?
Yeah, that's, I mean, I think kind of what everyone would dream. It happens. I was sitting at my desk and Joe came over and was like, hey, I got these two aliens no one's claimed. And yeah. So I took one of them. And
which ones were they?
It was the Ferromagnetic Ooze.
Right. I've seen that. Yeah.
Or the Ferro, I think it got changed to Ferrofluid Ooze in the final. I was like, didn't get to pick what I did at all. It was like literally leftovers.
Right.
So I first panicked and then was like, how can I possibly know enough about a rule set to like design for it or to like, you know what I'm doing here. But then just started researching all the things about ferrofluids and then getting inspiration from that. And
so he gave you that it was a ferrofluid already.
That part we already had. Since I've learned that like assignments have varying levels of like specificity when you go into them, and that one I just knew it was a ferrofluid ooze. And so then but then it was on me to go and look at what a ferrofluid is, what it does, what kind of, you know, abilities would a sentient one have, and put that all together, partially based on the science that I could understand, and then just also, you know, the rule of cool.
Neat. And then you've gone on to write a couple other things for hardcovers.
I seem to do okay on that first alien.
Well, when they come back to you again, you must have done okay.
Yeah, exactly. So, Gods and Magic was less design, like no stat blocks really there. Right. But an absolute joy to write because it was more lore things, and I got to really in that one the research was more knowing my stuff about Pathfinder gods.
And
I only had one to do. But I had to know like their relations and the backgrounds, and you know, if they're from a certain plane, I got to know about that plane. And so, you know, that first step is always just research into that.
And so that one is pretty much just bringing what was the lore that was created in Pathfinder 1 and updating it for Pathfinder 2 then?
Yeah, pretty much. Right. So that one was, you know, less creative freedom. That was more of a writing task for
sure.
And just really condensing everything that... somebody coming into Pathfinder 2 maybe doesn't know all that stuff about the all the source books for Pathfinder 1. And so they're getting this book for the first time. So that's what I was trying to keep in mind. Like, this is the first time someone's going to be introduced to this deity. What do I need to tell them? So then I, you know, just... a word limit is the rudest thing. Because you think... when you see like 1,000 words, you're like, that's plenty, and it never is. And so especially when you're trying to cram that much lore and that.
Yeah, because they have a certain, this is how many pages we want to use for this.
Yeah.
So you're limited, and we need a graphic in there, so only write this amount. And it's like, but there's so much to tell.
Yeah.
How can we do that?
Yeah. And so you end up, it's a big editing game where you kind of, I mean, that's what I do. I spill out everything I could possibly want to tell. And then I, you know, what's really important here? What did I kind of reiterate that I can just make one point and then get it all in there so that, and then use the right language so that someone really gets the feel of what they're in for with this particular god.
And did your background in cultural anthropology and the writing you've done there kind of help inform how you write as well?
It always does. I don't know, it's just one of those majors for me that it changed the way I think about the world in general. And so I love to get to apply it in the writing, in the sense that I do have some background on how cultures form and how, you know, like how religious systems happen and how, you know, in cultures around the world. And so for instance, we have to come up with like sayings that they would say about this god, and of course I'm like, deep into my linguistic things and like how do like, you know, how do other cultures like tend to pick up sayings and, you know, and I'm trying to use that to.
Oh, so like maybe not the language itself, but the words that they would use that would be translated into that language.
Or how they come up with, you know, like why do we say certain things about real, you know, world.
Right.
Beliefs, you know, and things that we like wish each other or, you know, like greetings and things like that. And so I think like, okay, well, we tend to have greetings, we tend to have well wishings, you know, okay, so what's the well wishing for this god? Mm-hmm. You know, what is their way that they express that based on the lore? And, mm-hmm. you know, so I try and think of the equivalents of things that we kind of naturally do as we socialize.
Right, very cool. And you've also written something for an announced book, mm-hmm. Near Space.
Yeah.
Can you talk about the sections that you worked on in there?
Yeah, I did a planet.
Okay.
A whole planet. That was the biggest thing I've done so far.
Okay. And when you say you did a planet, so you design, it's a planet that's already been in the lore, or did you create something new?
It exists.
Okay.
And it had more guidance for me on what I needed to include for it. So it's...
So when you develop a planet like that, what are the type of things you have to check off to make sure that you've done everything you need to describe the planet? I mean, other than the basics, you know, of the gravity and atmosphere, I presume those are givens, but there's other things that you're developing. What are those? What's kind of the nature of those things?
Well, the main things are the locations. You got to have places for players to go things for them to do there. Mm-hmm. So you're thinking of locations and interesting parts of the planet, but also what somebody is going to do.
Mm-hmm. So why somebody would go to that location?
Yeah, why do you care? Yeah, why do you care this is here?
Yeah, especially like a lot of these, the books are designed for like if somebody's doing a homebrew and they need a resource to say, oh, you guys are going to go do this.
Yeah.
Here's the this, and this is the why you're going there.
Yeah, so, exactly. Yeah, and what might you get out of that? Something that can maybe stick with your team or with your character or some benefit even or some even just exciting element of thing you might have, you know, your game hasn't implemented yet, but you're like, oh, if we go here we can do this kind of thing, and like we really want to do that kind of thing. It's your world building, but you don't just want to present like an open sandbox and be like, you do the work, you know. It's like, you know, here's what you are going to be excited to do on these places that feel alive, and that's where a lot of the cultural anthropology stuff that I love to bring in came in, because I was like, okay, so how does this, you know, world function, has its history, has its, you know,
and how many words do you have to present all that?
Not enough, never enough.
Yeah, I was gonna say, you're describing an entire planet and its culture and its history. You know, how many volumes is this?
You could definitely, I could say so much more about it than I get to.
But you're really building a framework for other people to build off on if they want, though.
Yeah.
So if you were completely, you mentioned world building, if you're completely exhaustive in the world building, then somebody will use that as a location, but really doesn't have a lot of room.
Oh yeah, no, you never want to complete anybody's mysteries for them.
Right.
You know, so it's like I wanna give you the idea, and I hope that somebody else can do something more amazing with it than I even could, than I ever could. So I wanna, you know, build a place where what's exciting about it seems real and seems to fit in with everything.
Right.
And then, you know, then what is your party going to do with it?
Mm-hmm.
And I don't want to tell you that, because that's the fun of it. That's your storytelling at your table.
So of these types of writing that you've done, so you have kind of a creature building, so stat blocking, you have, the lore building, right, which you did with the gods and omens. And then you have kind of the world building. Right. So what are some of the challenges that vary across these type?
That they're all very different. And
right.
So that when you're writing for RPGs, you're not like this is the one thing you're going to do to write for RPGs.
Mm-hmm.
You're going to do so many different kinds of things based on the book and what it entails and what they've determined is going to be in it. And you also have to know your limit for like, maybe I know that I can lose myself in a world-building thing, and I can, you know, sit down and at night, and you know, there's thousands of words come out, and I edit it, and I'm just having a great time. But I know that I'll slog through the stat block, and that's going to be, you know, more taxing on me and my emotions and my time. And so when I accept assignments, I have to know where my limit is for how much I want to do each element of it. And I think it's best when you get to do a little bit of it all.
Right.
Rather than just like, you know, here, create us 20 stat blocks. I'd just be like, technically that's less words, but it would be more draining.
Well, for the type of your style of writing.
For my style. So,
for
my
some
style.
People I know that
they, would love to hash out, you know, 20 stat blocks. And that would be, but then, you know, when they have to break down and decide all this other information, you know, it might be more exhausting to write that 1,000 words than the however many in the stat block. And so I think you have to know what you like to do versus what you can do. and then you have to know how much time you have and that you can fit in there. And then, of course, something you care more about adding to the world, to the lore, you're gonna have an easier time with. But also, don't discount, you know, ferrofluid oozes, where you start to research, you know, ferrofluids, and you're like, these are so cool, and you know, you can find a way, and you know that something is always somebody's thing.
Right.
And so, you know, there's somebody out there that's like really excited about this magnetic ability thing. Like, I can't slack on it so that they don't get something really cool, because they're the person that loves these kinds of monsters or this kind of world or stuff like that. So sometimes, even if I'm not super excited about a concept, I think about what the person who is super excited about that wants to see from it and then go from there.
Very cool. So what other advice do you have for people interested in getting into writing, especially for Paizo? Because not all of them can come here and work here and then happen to get something dropped on their desk.
No, that's that was definitely a lucky track. And if you're interested in doing it, first of all, read what's already written. Because even when I got an assignment, you know, I could have been so much more prepared. Pay attention to the tense and the sort of tone that everything is written in. If you're interested in writing monsters or whatever, make sure that you're not like me and your first draft writes about the thing as if it's a one thing. It's a ferromagnetic ooze. No, ferromagnetic oozes.
Right.
And then you change the whole tense of, you know, like just little things like that, and just being aware so that when you do get the chance to show somebody something, or you have written something, and maybe you did like a Wayfinder magazine, a fan thing that you know, to get your name out there. Just if it already fits the style and the tone that our products do, I think that's going to you know, benefit you a lot more and show that you are paying attention and knowing what kind of the standard for Paizo is.
Cool. And so, what's up next for Sam?
I think I'm gonna get an editing certificate. And
really?
Yeah. Very cool. Yeah. So, I love this publishing world and that's skills I can even use in my current position. And so, and honestly, I hope it makes my turnovers for future projects look a lot cleaner and nicer. And, you know, our editors will maybe like me better. And then I have a few, unreleased, products or unannounced products. That I've contributed to, that I'm super excited for you guys to hear about.
Are they Starfinder and Pathfinder?
Both, yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
So that's two rule sets that you had.
And so definitely I keep wishing to play more, because a lot of my rules knowledge comes out of doing the assignments, and then I like get, you know, all this stuff, and I'm just like, oh, now I just want to play.
Well, if you're interested, you know, I run a local group here. We have Starfinder actually twice a week, Wednesdays and Sundays. You're more than welcome to join.
I have to,
Just talk to Scott. He knows all the details.
Okay, sounds good.
So, well, you know, thanks so much for joining us on the podcast today. Hopefully, I get a chance to see you again, probably PaizoCon. Do you get a chance to go to other conventions as well?
Mostly just PaizoCon, you know, maybe Gen Con this year. Yeah. It's my dream, my hope, but we'll see.
Well, it's a madhouse there, but it's
That's what I've seen. Yeah.
All right, well, thanks again.
All right, thank you so much.